Okay, well, we're in this series called Who You Say I Am. And I felt impressed of the Lord to take the time to have a study on what does God say about who we are. And the reason why this is so valuable is we live in a world where we're constantly being told who we are according to other people. We're constantly being told who we are according to society and according to the world. And we have so many voices telling us who we are. And we've learned to embrace who other people say that we are. And so we've made a mistake, and we've placed our value in what other people say about us. And how many of you understand that that will work good on a good day and bad on a bad day? That works as long as people are saying the right things to you. That works as long as your family's encouraging you and your wife's telling you how funny you are and your kids are telling you what a rock you are and your boss is telling you how productive you are. It works on those good days, but how many of you know that your boss could love you one day and he might not love you the next? And so if you find your value in what other people say about you, you are in dangerous territory, because there will be a day when someone says something that's not so nice to you. Now, we, as people of God, we should be speaking great things about other people. We should be lifting each other up and encouraging each other and blessing each other. And I try to ingrain this into my kids every time they talk about their mom, my wife. Every time they talk about, you know, what, oh, mom played Play-Doh with me today. Mom built a fort with me today. No matter what they say about their day, mom did this with me. I always, always, always say this: your mom's the best, isn't she? Why do I do that? Because I'm trying to brainwash them. In a good way, right? Parents, don't we do this? Where I want to ingrain this into them, into the very fiber of their being, because there will be a day, it hasn't happened yet, but there will be a day when maybe my wife will raise her voice at the kids and maybe say something to them and discipline them, and they might not think that mom's the greatest mom in the world, but I want in the back of their mind to have this thought: mom's the best. And even though I'm being disciplined right now, and even though I'm having this interaction right now, mom's the best. And so we that's good. We should speak good things. We should encourage and lift one another up and all of that. But we need to be careful that we don't find our value in the words of other people. And I love this quote from Bill Johnson: if you don't live by the praise of men, you won't die by their criticism. If you don't live according to how other people praise you and lift you up, then you won't die when somebody says something ugly about you on social media. And yet we live in a world where we live for the praises of people, and we constantly do things hoping to earn other people's love and approval and affection. And we're just dedicating this month of December to say, you know what, it doesn't matter what other people say about us, it matters what God says about us. Our value is in who God says we are. And so turn to the person next to you and say, I am who he says I am, not who you say I am. And we began this series 2 weeks ago with this declaration: I am a child of God. If you know nothing else about who you are as a follower of Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus, this is who you are. You're his child. So the creator of the universe is your Abba Father. You are a child of God. And Pastor Joe last week brought a word that we are vessels, that God lives in us, and that needs to affect the way that we live our lives and walk out our lives. This morning, God gave me a word for us, and here it is. I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. I'm a vessel. And here's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm blessed. So some of you don't know me, and some of you only know me because you see me up here, and we don't really know each other that well. But here's something that I'm going to tell you about myself this morning. I'm blessed. Well, how could you say that? Because God says I'm blessed. It is my identity as a child of God that I am blessed. And if you are a child of God, I've got news for you today. You're blessed. And you might not feel like it right now. You might not feel like you're blessed, but you're blessed. Because if God says you're blessed and you say you're not blessed, I'm going to choose God's right and you're wrong. So I want to unpack that this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the book of Numbers in chapter 22. And we're going to talk about the blessing. The Hebrew word blessed is barak, which means empowered with words. When you encourage someone, when you tell someone that you like their hair, you're blessing them. That's what blessing means. When you empower them to feel good about themselves, about life, about God, about their future, anytime you lift someone up, you bless them. Anytime you do that, it means empowered with words. And the very first thing that God did, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, says, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the earth. The very first thing that God did is bless his people. Very first thing. So this is your reality. You're blessed. In Numbers chapter 22, we're going to be reading a lot of Bible this morning, which I hope is okay because you are in a church service. Okay, Numbers chapter 22, we meet with the king of Moab, King Balak, and Balak is afraid because the Israelites are on their way moving towards Moab, and he's afraid because he's heard that the favor of God, the blessing of God, travels with the Israelites everywhere they go, and so every land that they go into to overtake, they take it. Everywhere that they go, they have victory and success, and so King Balak, or Balak, or Balik, or Baluk, or Balak, I don't know how to pronounce it, so if I say it a few different ways, that's all right. He is afraid, and rightfully so, because people should be afraid when they come against the people who are blessed. So Numbers chapter 22, verse 6 says this. This is what Balak asks of a prophet named Balaam. He says, come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land, for I know that who you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So King Balaam reaches out to this prophet. He has a reputation of being very effective. Whoever he blesses is blessed. Whoever he curses is cursed. And he sends his men to go and talk to Balaam, hoping that if he can get him to speak a curse over the people who are blessed, then the curse will cancel out the blessing. That's his plan, and that's what he's going to try and do. So let's keep reading. Verse 8 of Numbers 22. And he said to them, to the men that Balak sent, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. And when God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? And Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, behold, a people has come out of Egypt, and it covers the face of the earth. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to fight against them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Verse 13, so Balaam rose in the morning and said to the prince of Balak, go to your own land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. So I love this. God tells Balaam, don't go curse God's people. Why? Because it's a waste of your time. Because they're already blessed. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. So he sends them packing. They go back to the king. The king's pretty intent. He sends back word, sends the men back again. And this is what he says, verse 16. They came back to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, which means I will give you lots of money, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Come and curse this people for me. But Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord to do more or to do less. Our heart's attitude should be the same as Balaam's here. I cannot do anything other than what God tells me to do. That ought to be the heart's response to God in every situation in our lives. Don't go and curse these people because you can't curse them because they're already blessed. Now, I want to pause and because I know that some people are wrestling saying, well, these are the Israelites. The Israelites were blessed, but this isn't talking about us. This isn't talking about New Testament church. This is Old Testament. This is under the Old Covenant. There's a blessing that was upon the Israelites, but that's not the same as the blessing that's upon us. as the late John Pinette would say, nay, nay. The blessing that was upon the Israelites through the cross of Jesus Christ is upon you and me. God first spoke this to Adam and Eve. He blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. He spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And everyone who blesses you will be blessed. And everyone who curses you will be cursed. And I will bless all nations of the earth through you. The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So the same blessing that was upon the Israelites, the same blessing that's upon the people of God is upon us. So we don't push this away. I know the people of Israel have a spot in the heart of God, a special spot. And I'm not saying that that's not true. But the blessing that was on them is upon us. It's the same thing. So, somebody say, I'm blessed. God tells Balaam, you can't curse them because they're already blessed. Sends them back. The king sends his men back again. Ask him again. So Balaam brings it to God. He says, okay, God, what do you want me to do? They're here again. What do you want me to do? And God gives him permission. He says, you know what? Okay, go with them, but only say what I tell you to say. Only say what I tell you to say. And so he goes, and you know the story. Balaam gets on his donkey. I won't tell you the whole story there, but Balaam goes on his donkey and he goes, and you know the story. God uses the donkey to see the angel, and Balaam doesn't see the angel. He opens the donkey's mouth to speak because he wants to get his attention one more time. And one more time he gets Balaam's attention before getting there, and he says this. In verse 35 of chapter 22, go with the men, but speak only the words that I tell you to speak. Speak only the words that I tell you to speak. So there he is, this prophet Balaam with the king. And Balaam tells Balak to build 7 altars and to bring in bulls and rams. And there's all this ceremony. Okay, and this is hilarious. And if you don't know the story, you'll find out soon why this is so hilarious. He sets up 7 altars, brings in all the bulls, brings in all the calves, brings in all the rams. They do all of this ceremony. And you've got to imagine the excitement in King Balak's mind. I just picture him with a spring in his step. He's thinking, I am about to win. The very people that God has blessed and has used to overtake every other king, I am going to be the king who defeats the people of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You've got to imagine the anticipation and the excitement in his mind. And I know that you can picture this because you get like this, probably right around this time of year before Christmas. Right? You have certainly your kids and grandkids sitting underneath us get this right now. They are excited for Christmas. There's an anticipation that I just hope that this comes true. And they're dreaming about this. I used to have daydreams as a child about getting the gifts that I wanted for Christmas. And some of you are still that way. Anybody? You've dropped 37 hints to your significant other about what you want for Christmas. And you're just hoping, please, please, God, let him forget everything that he needs to do at work today, but let him remember this one thing that I want for Christmas. You get excited and you get anticipated. And you got to imagine that that's what he's experiencing. And then God speaks to Balaam. And we don't hear what God speaks to Balaam until Balaam speaks it for Balak to hear. Verse chapter 23, verse 7. And Balaam took up discourse and said, from Aram, Balak has brought me the king of Moab from the eastern mountain. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. But how can I curse whom God has not cursed, and how can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the crags I see him, from the hills I behold him. Behold, a people dwelling alone and not counting itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you've done nothing but bless them. And he answered and said, must I not take care to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? Now you can imagine how frustrated Balak would be in this moment. He was just hoping that all of his dreams would come true. He was setting up 7 altars. You had me set up 7 altars and bring bulls and bring rams and bring calves and do everything that you wanted me to do. And then you did the opposite of what I wanted you to do. Can you imagine? You get the opposite of what you want for Christmas. You want a 4K flat screen TV, and you get a book. I don't know what the opposite of a TV is. A book, maybe, right? Or you bring someone in, you pay someone to come into your house and put in hardwood flooring, and he puts in carpet. Like, you get the opposite of what you want. If anybody likes new flooring, by the way, take a detour into our multi-purpose room after service down the hall. We got some beautiful new carpet. Anyways, praise the Lord for upgrades in the house of God. So, getting the opposite of what you wanted, you've got to imagine how frustrated King Balak would have been. And so, he, in an act of desperation, says, okay, maybe we can still make this happen. He says, let's go around the corner of the mountain here. And I know you don't want to curse all of God's people, but maybe you'll curse some of them. So let's go over here. Maybe you'll curse some of the children of God. And Balaam says, lead the way. And here we go again. Numbers chapter 23, verse 18. This is what Balaam says. Arise, Balak, and hear. Give heart to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will not fulfill it? For behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt and is with them like the horns of a wild ox. For there is no enchantment against Jacob. There is no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what has God wrought? Behold, a people. As a lioness it rises up, and as a lion it lifts itself. It does not lie down until it devours the prey and drunk the blood of the slain. And Balak said to Balaam, do not curse them at all and do not bless them at all. In other words, please stop talking. Because not only does he not curse the people of God, he blesses them. For crying out loud, just stop talking. Before all this happened a second time, Balaam had him build 7 more altars and bring more bulls and rams and goats, and they go all through this ceremony and rigmarole. And once again, the king, not only did he not get what he wanted, he got the exact opposite of what he wanted. Things are far worse off for Balak now than they were before he picked a fight with God's people. And let that be said of every person and every principality in this life, that things will be worse off for them after they pick a fight with the people of God than before. Let me just declare this over the house this morning. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now I'm going to tell you something. That means that the weapons are going to be formed against you. Oh, I don't like that part. That means that weapons will be formed against you. You do realize that. It just means that they won't prosper. They're still going to look dangerous, and they still might hurt you, but they won't kill you. And so, here's the funny part. This just keeps getting gooder and gooder. It's my goal in life to add some words to the dictionary. That's one of them. King Balak tries one last time to get Balaam to curse God's people. Numbers 23:27. And Balak said to Balaam, come now, and I will take you to another place, and perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. He just doesn't give up. Now, you're reading the story, and your heart's not there. You're not where Balak is. It's easy to see that this is not an intelligent thing to do. Let's try this again. It hasn't worked the first 2 times, but you'll notice this in your own life, that when you are living in rebellion to God, you always take longer to get out than you should. Oh, it got quiet in the room. Come on, isn't that true? When you're doing something that you know that you shouldn't do, you always hang around a little bit too much longer than you should have. Yeah, that's what Balak's doing. He's saying, I've just got to dig my heels in, and I've got to see this through. Maybe it'll work if we do it one more time. Okay, here we are, one last time. Here's what Balaam says as he sets up camp, sets up the altars, burns the offerings on the altar. These are his words. He says, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel. Like palm groves that stretch afar, like gardens beside a river, it does like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the water. Water shall flow from his buckets, and his seed shall be like in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt, and is for like him the horns of the wild ox. He shall eat up the nations, his adversaries, and shall break their bones in pieces and pierce them through with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down like a lion and like a lioness. Who will rouse him up? Blessed are those who bless you, and cursed are those who curse you. So not only does Balaam the prophet not curse God's people, not only does he bless God's people, he prophesies certain doom and painful death to those who come against them. Let me tell you something about Israel. Let me tell you something about Jacob, Balaam says. They will not stop until their enemies' bones are crushed and they drink your blood. Not only does he not curse God's people, not only does he bless God's people, not only does he prophesy certain doom and destruction and painful death to those who oppose God's people, but then he proclaims a curse over anyone who would come against God's people. Things could not be worse if you were Balak. He says, let me tell you something about the people of God. If you bless them, they'll be blessed, and if you curse them, you will be cursed. So let me say something that might cause some silence in the room. You be careful when you pronounce cursing on God's people. You watch your mouth when you talk about other children of God. And we need to learn how to be slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to anger and speak blessing on God's people and speak blessing on those who serve him. And so, why did we read that story? Why did I walk you through all three accounts? I did that so that I could declare this simple truth to you this morning. You are blessed. It's who you are. It's a part of your identity. You are blessed. Now, those of you who are a little bit more charismatic and excitable in the room, you're good. You're with me. You're trekking along. Those of you who are a little bit more practical and a little bit more technical and a little bit more, I need some follow-through examples here. You're saying, okay, Pastor Tim, I get you. God's people are blessed. But what does that mean? Because blessing can sound like a churchy word, right? Or just something we say after someone sneezes. What does it mean? What does it mean to be blessed? What does it look like to be blessed? What does it feel like to be blessed? Because how many of you would be willing to admit that you've walked through times in your life where you did not feel blessed? Show of hands. You've heard of political correctness, right? So let's get rid of churchy correctness. Churchy correctness is when we all come to church and everybody's good and everybody's smiling and I'm blessed and you're blessed and we're blessed and everything's good and I got money in the bank and I got a summer home and I got everything's good. My kids love me. I love my kids. My spouse adores me, laughs at all my jokes. Like, we're good. Everything's good. That's churchy correctness, where we pretend that we don't have problems. So let's just cast that spirit out of the room and let's be honest for a moment. Who in here has endured times in their lives where they've not felt blessed? Yeah. 50% of the room is now telling the truth. It's good. We're getting there. The other half of you are Grinches who just don't like raising your hands when the pastor tells you to. What does it look like to be blessed? What does it feel like to be blessed? Because I know that we make a mistake in Christian circles and in the church world, and we talk about blessing and we misrepresent what blessing means. And what we start to think is that blessing means that your circumstances are always good. And you're never walking through troubled times. And that's not what the blessing is. We read verses like, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. And then we look at our bank statements. And if we don't see riches, we begin to question the blessing of God. How can I be blessed when I'm struggling? So what does it mean to be blessed? You don't have to turn there. It'll be up on the screen. James 1:12 says this. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. This is fascinating. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast in the trials and in the tests of life. Now, this goes against every automatic assumption that we have in us about the blessing, because we think that the blessing means that I don't have to go through tests and I don't have to go through trials. That the blessed people of God, like, we're just good and we just don't have to try because we have Jesus. And so I just don't have to do anything in life because God's just going to take care of me. No, the word says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast in the trials and tests. It doesn't mean that you don't have tests. If you love Jesus, get ready for tests. If you want to give your life to God, get ready for trials. Because one of the many promises of God is this: people will hate you in life. You will be persecuted in life. When persecution comes, it's a sign of blessing. When people don't like you, it could be a sign of blessing. It could be just be an indicator that you're not a nice person. But it could be. You got to leave that open there. You might need to deal with some things and smile a little bit more. But persecution can be just an indicator that you're blessed. So here's what I want for us. Here's my heart for us. That we need to renew our minds to the reality that we are blessed. We have to be aware of it so that when life comes our way, so that when challenges come our way, our automatic response is, I'm blessed. Rather than our automatic response being, well, of course this happens to me. Of course the car breaks down before Christmas. See, being blessed isn't about avoiding tests and trials. It's about making it through to the other side. Say that again. Being blessed is not about avoiding tests and trials. It's about making it through. Blessed is the man who is able to endure and stand the test of time. So I'll say it like this. Being blessed means you're going to make it through whatever you're walking through. So if someone approaches you and say, what does it mean when you say that you believe that the blessing of the Lord is upon the people of God? It means that I'm going to make it through whatever I'm walking through. It doesn't mean I don't have to go for walks. It doesn't mean that I don't have to pay my bills. Doesn't mean that I don't have to deal with relational strife. Doesn't mean that there isn't attacks in my life. It means I'm going to make it through whatever I'm walking through. I'm going to make it through because God's with me. That's what the blessing is. This is our spiritual reality. Doesn't mean that you don't have to walk through stuff. It doesn't mean that the poop doesn't hit the fan. It means when the poop hits the fan, you have something called an umbrella as the favor of God. How's that for a nice visual for you on a Sunday morning? I don't know if I'm allowed to say this in church, but let's just see what happens. So, the struggles in our lives are like poop. And life is a fan. Sometimes the poop hits the fan. But as the people of God, we have an umbrella called the favor of God to protect us from the fallout. Come on, the blessing doesn't mean you don't go through stuff. It means you walk through safely to the other side. Doesn't mean it's easy. It means that when life's tough, you're going to be tougher. And it means when anxiety attacks, you're going to have to lean into Jesus and ask for a peace that surpasses all understanding. Why would you need peace that surpasses understanding? Why would you need that? Why would the Bible promise that? Because that means you're going to need a level of peace in your life that doesn't make sense, because in the natural, you should be having a panic attack. Think about that. Why would you need peace that surpasses understanding? The very nature of that promise means that you're going to have to get ready for some tough times in life. Well, you're not liking that too much, are you? The blessing means that when sickness comes knocking, you don't think, oh, now that you're sick, you don't think, oh, I must not be blessed. I'm not blessed. Where I thought blessed people walked in health and healing, and I must have lost my blessing. No, blessed people respond to sickness by cursing it in Jesus' name and believing that the Lord will touch you and heal you. You don't start doubting your blessing just because you're sick. You don't start doubting your blessing because you have anxiety. You don't start doubting your blessing because you missed it and you sinned. You lean into the blessing by reminding yourself, I am blessed. My God loves me. and I am blessed of the Lord Most High. So that when divorce is threatening your marriage, you start walking in that selfless covenant love that God has called you to love in, to walk in. Now that doesn't mean that blessed people don't get divorced. Somebody should say amen to that. Because here's what happens. We talk about blessing, we talk about favor, we talk about all this stuff, and then you walk through something, and it ends in a way you didn't want it to, and then the person thinks, well, if I was blessed, then this should have worked. So here's what I believe. I believe that the blessing carries the power to heal your marriage so that it doesn't have to end in divorce. But I also believe that the blessing carries the power to carry you through a divorce. Does that make sense? The blessing is not limited to everything ending out in the best case scenario. The blessing walks you through when you don't get the best case scenario. The point is this, regardless of your circumstances, if you're a child of God and if you love Jesus, this is who you are. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. And you're going to make it through whatever you're going through. But you need to remind yourself on a daily basis. I don't know what a blasis is. It's a blessing basis. It's a blasis. I'm hitting my word count for the day. So, I want to ask you a question. Is the blessing only automatic in our lives, or do we have a role to play in determining our blessing? Is the blessing automatic in our lives? Yes. When you give your life to Jesus, you're blessed. Just like the people of God in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they were blessed. You are blessed if you've given your life to the Lord. You're blessed. But do you have a role to play in determining how blessed you are? Yes, you do have a role to play. And so, everything in life is a partnership between you and God. Forgiveness is a free gift, but do you have a role to play? When you sin, do you just automatically get God's grace? Or do you have to go and confess your sin to Him? Right? Grace is a free gift. It's there for everyone, but you have a role to play. Healing is a free gift. You don't have to memorize 37 healing scriptures to get healed. It's a free gift, but you have a role to play in standing on the promises of God. The blessing is a free gift, but you have a role to play. So your spiritual reality is this, you're blessed. But there's a good chance that a lot of us are living every day as if we're cursed. So we have an expectation that bad things are going to happen rather than good things. And so we actually tell ourselves that. We say, well, it's just my luck that the car broke down at this time of year. Of course, the kids are getting sick right now. Of course. Why would you say that? You are literally explaining that you have faith. You have an expectancy that bad things are going to happen to you and your family. And I believe that a lot of us have a greater expectation that bad things are going to happen than we do good things. But if we can renew our mind to the blessing in our lives, then we can have an expectation that good things are going to happen to me because my God is for me. But we have a role to play. Psalm, you don't have to turn to these verses. Let me read them to you. Psalm 1:1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, which means this. You're blessed because you love Jesus. But if you hang around with poisonous people, they will suck the blessing out of your life. Blessed are those who do not surround themselves with wicked people. Psalm 119, 1-2 says this, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless and who walks in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies and who seek Him with their whole heart." So there are people who have surrendered their life to Christ, but they're living in rebellion to His word and His commandments. They're ignoring Him. Are they blessed because they're a child of God? Yes. There is a blessing on their lives. But are they less blessed because they're living in sin and running away from Him? Absolutely. So we're more blessed when we obey the Lord and less blessed when we disobey Him. Deuteronomy 11:26 to 28 says this, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and a curse if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God and turn aside from the way in which I have commanded you. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. What does that mean? You determine how blessed you are. You have a role to play in determining how blessed your life is, because you get to choose life. And that verse also says that you can choose death and you can choose cursing. So we read the story of Balaam and Balak, and what that illustrates for us is that nobody can curse whom God has blessed. Everybody say, amen. Okay, but can you still be cursed? Yes. Who has the power to do that? You. Satan can't curse you. People can't curse you. But you can, because life and death are in the power of your tongue. So someone else can speak death over you, speak curses over you, speak financial disaster over you, and that can have zero, absolutely zero effect in your life unless you come into agreement with them and you begin to speak that curse over yourself. See, you have the power to actually curse yourself. And so one of your kids gets sick and you say, oh, it won't be till the end of the week until we all have it. You've just cursed your family. Of course, this happened to me. You're expecting curses in your life. And my heart for us this morning, what God shook me up about this week, was that we need to have a blessing mindset where our expectation is that God has blessings in store for us. So that when you walk into your day, every day that you walk into, your expectation should be something good is going to happen to me today. Rather than walking into the office and walking into that family situation thinking, I don't know if this is going to go well. We need to live as if we were blessed, and we are blessed. Okay, so married people, pop quiz, married people, are you married? That was really simple, wasn't it? I kind of gave you the answer before I asked the question, right? What do you think would happen if you lived this week as if you weren't? Ooh. You got a few of those, right? That would not go well. Okay, so here's our spiritual reality. You're blessed. I believe that most Christians live as if they're not. So what do you think they're experiencing? Do you think they're experiencing the blessing of blessing? No. If you're a married person living like you're single, you're not going to experience the blessings of marriage. You're going to experience a curse. Things will not go well with you. We need to be a people who actually live as if we are blessed, because we actually are blessed. Like God reminded Balaam, the people of God are blessed, so no one can curse them. So when doctors tell you that you won't live to see 6 months from now, your automatic reaction should be, I sure will, doc. I'll see you in 7 months. Because I'm blessed. And blessed people live out the fullness of their days. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. Blessed people live out the fullness of their days. Your automatic reaction when bad news comes should be, I'm blessed. When sickness comes and attacks you, your automatic reaction should be, I'm blessed. When a family member gets into a car accident, your automatic reaction should be, I'm blessed. Not because those things happened, but in spite of the fact that those things happened. You need to remind yourself when bad things happen, I'm blessed, and blessed people get through this. Blessed people walk through the storm and get to the other side. I'm going to make it through. And I just want to close this morning by reading to you, as if we haven't read enough scripture, I want to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want to declare this, I want to just declare this over you as God's people. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says this, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now I want to pause for a moment just to say this. We struggle, and I've struggled reading Deuteronomy 28, because we like verses 3 through 14, but we struggle with 1 and 2. Because it says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you are faithful to do everything in this book, you'll be blessed. So, show of hands of how many people are qualified to receive verses 3 through 14. That's what I thought. So we kind of struggle because we think, well, this is nice stuff. I mean, we want to cross stitch verse 3 and 4 and 5, but nobody cross stitches verse 1. So this becomes really depressing if we can't achieve this. So here's the reality. Our Old Testament reality, before the cross reality, nobody could receive these blessings. Nobody. Nobody. Because the point of the law, the scriptures teach us, the point of the law was to show us that we needed a Savior. So nobody can obey all the commandments and follow God perfectly. Nobody. But we, after the cross, because of Jesus Christ, we can qualify. I'll show you how we can qualify for this. Because when we don't faithfully obey every word, when we step into sin and rebellion, we can then approach God through our Savior Jesus, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us of our sin and all unrighteousness. And now you stand before God perfect. So when you confess your sin to Jesus, you stand before him perfect, and you now qualify for verses 3 through 14. So for those of you who are willing to repent of sin, this is for you. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, who rise against you, to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, and give the rain to your land in its season, and bless you in all the works of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall go up only and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to do them. This is your reality and mine, and you should live every day of your life declaring Deuteronomy 28 over you. Your declaration should be, I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the field, I'm blessed at home, I'm blessed at work, I'm blessed in the highway, I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed everywhere that I go. My car is blessed, my house is blessed, my furnace is blessed. Anyone thankful for furnaces at this time of year? My furnace is blessed in Jesus' name. My stuff, Deuteronomy 28 says my kneading bowl. Now, I don't have a kneading bowl, but I have other stuff. So this means that your stuff is blessed. Which means that all of you should do this before you leave today. It'll be a fun scene for people to see as they drive by. All of you should go and declare blessing over your car before you drive it out of here. Because it's yours. So if you see someone talking to their car, just, oh yeah, they were listening today in service. Go tell your car, you're blessed because my name's on your owner. I own you. You're my stuff. So you're going to run well. You're not going to break down for me. You're blessed because you belong to me. God's blessing is upon your life, is upon your finances, is upon your relationship. But you need to, you know, you might not see it in the natural, so you need to remind yourself of it. I'm blessed when I come in and when I go out. I'm blessed in my relationships with people. People love me. People love me. People like me. People just want to spend more time with me. I'm just bragging on myself a little bit this morning. People, so you got to tell you, I'm not being churchy. I'm not being fake. This isn't about pretending that everything's good. This is about declaring over yourself. People like me. Because you know what happens in your mental attitude? People who walk around assuming that people don't like them, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and people don't like you. Because you carry a posture that people don't like you. And so people don't like you because you don't like you. So you need to remind yourself, I'm blessed. My relationships are blessed. My boss loves me. He could have threatened to fire you yesterday. And you need to walk around saying, my boss loves me. He loves me. My company is blessed just because I work there. My company makes more money because I work there. And the moment that I leave, it's gonna start losing money because the blessing goes with me. That need, don't prophesy that over them, but that's why every industry needs Christians. Every industry, well, every industry that should be profitable and make money, there's all sorts of things. You know what I mean. We need to be everywhere because the blessing needs to be everywhere. And the reason why things are blessed is because God's people are there. You need to declare this over yourself. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I lend and do not borrow. So folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Christmas time when your credit card statements come in the new year. You lay your hands on it and you say, I'm a lender and not a borrower. You might think, well, that Pastor Tim, that's called lying. No, that's a statement of faith of who you want to be. I'm a lender and not a borrower. I don't live by debt. I live by faith in God. And he sustains me and he takes care of me. And you make a decision. See, the blessing comes to obedience. So the decision needs to be made of whether or not you want to keep using the credit card. I'm going on a rant right now, but you want me to stop or you want me to keep going? The blessed people don't borrow money. They give it away to others. So you need to, if you're struggling financially, you need to start declaring the blessing over your finances. Deuteronomy 28 says, you will only increase, only go up. You will never decrease and never go down. And God got my attention several years ago, and I felt that he grabbed me by the collar and said, you declare this over the church. You will only increase and never decrease. I felt the fear of God as if to say, Tim, you watch your mouth and don't you ever curse this church. So let me come to you as a church family this morning and ask you to join me. Don't you ever curse this church. Speak blessing. You can disagree with people, but don't curse. Speak blessing. Speak life. And we've seen God, we've nearly doubled in the last 5 years. And yet you ain't seen nothing yet. Where God's taking us, not just in terms of people, but in terms of power and authority and change. That the influence is gonna increase over this house. So somebody say, I'm blessed. Turn to the person beside you and say, you're blessed. Turn to the other person around you and say, you're blessed too. And stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Prayer team, could I ask you to come forward so that we can be ready to pray with folks this morning? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your presence in this place. God, I thank you for your word that brings life and sets us free in our thinking, Lord. And this morning I pray that we've been delivered, Father God, from bad thinking, and that we've got a glimpse of what it looks like to be your people, that we're a blessed people, that we're blessed by you. And that doesn't mean that everything's easy, but it means that we're going to make it, God. We're going to see it through because we have you in our life, and you're taking care of us, God. You're taking care of our families. You're taking care of our health. You're taking care of our finances, God. You're going before us. And so, Lord, whatever it is that we're walking through collectively in this place, Father, I pray that you would just breathe hope this morning all across this room. Father God, that you are a good Father and that we are your blessed children. I thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.